What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Ephesians chapter 1, I'll share with us on prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, let's read verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And look at Paul's prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, give to the church, the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Now, the greatest proceed of the believer's prayer is wisdom. Is wisdom and revelation. Because all that needs to be done, amen, has been done in the finished work of Jesus. We can't say that too much. That when we come into the place of prayer, I told you that prayer is key to success in any endeavor. That when you are praying, it's important the position from which you pray, not the situation for which you are praying for. Are you getting me? It is not the situation that you are praying that produces result. It's the position from which you are praying. And your position in prayer is a position of victory. It's important as a child of God, as a believer, that you be established in what has been accomplished for you. In healing, in prosperity. Do you get me? Let's say you find yourself in a tough financial position. Are you getting me? Does that mean you just get into prayer and you say, Lord, I'm owing this person, I'm owing that person, I need to pay this, I need money for this business, I need money for that business, you know, I've not been able to catch up with this. Is that the prayer you go to make? No, that's praying your situation. That's praying your situation. That is not the reality of who you are. That is the situation you have found yourself. But as a believer, you need to calm down. Are you listening to me? And say, concerning this situation, hello, what is God saying about it? And hear this. If it means taking time out to establish that position, it's important. If it means fasting to establish that position, do it. Do you know, while Jesus was fasting, what was he praying? What was he fasting and praying for? Was it his ministry? No. What was he praying for? Someone said, he prayed so I can enter into that. That's exactly what he was praying for. How many of you know Jesus was 100% God and 100% man? He was not half man in half God. If you notice, those 40 days, are you with me? If there's anything the devil was attacking, primarily, number one, was his personality. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to what? To bread. It's a personality thing. Because you can't even go into ministry with a wrong personality. If you be the Son of God, that means do something to prove you are the Son of God. That's the temptation. And hear me, you don't do something to prove you are the Son of God. It's because of you are the Son of God that you do the things that you do. That is why Jesus said, it is what? Written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was Jesus saying? What was he teaching us? That in prayer and fasting, that if you abstain from bread, you must be feeding. So fasting is not just abstaining from bread. It's that you are feeding on something different. And what was he feeding upon? The word. Where did that word come from? Through John. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen, I believe strongly that that word spoken by the Spirit of God, spoken by John under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is one of the things that Jesus was thinking about when he was in that wilderness. During those 40 days that he fasted, are you listening to me? I'm sure Jesus repeatedly kept saying, I am the beloved son of God, in whom he is well pleased. I am the beloved son of God, in whom he is well pleased. It doesn't matter whether there is bread or not. I am the beloved son of God, in whom he is well pleased. So I said, how do you know? If you read the epistles of John, if you read the gospel of John, you will discover that if there was anything, because that temptation didn't end there, if there was anything that the Pharisees attacked the most, is that you being a man calls yourself the Son of God. And Jesus repeatedly, take time and read the book of John. He repeatedly, no matter how situation tried to get him off that position that he's the Son of God, he never shifted from there. You know why? That word had comfort. It came from the excellent glory. I know Peter said you will do well to hold on to it. until the day star dawns in your heart. Are you getting me? Was Jesus praying his situation while fasting? No. He was maintaining his position in the fast. Is somebody getting? So even when we get into a fast, we must establish our position. Are you following? I said we must establish what? Our position. What is our position? Victory. Thanks be to God. The Bible says, who always causes us to triumph. So when I get into the place of prayer and I'm going to pray, what is on my mind first? That it doesn't matter what's happening, I am the victorious one. Nothing. Lord, why are all these things happening? Why are all these things happening? Why is this person treating me? Why are the people not coming to church? What do I need to do next? No, I am the victorious one. T.L. Osborne says that one of the definitions of prayer is contemplating who Christ is in us and what he is doing in us right now. He said, and how we are in participation with him in establishing the will of God. Kai, I love that. That when we are praying, are you getting me? That's what we are thinking. Who is Christ in us? Who are we to him? How are we in partnership in establishing the will of God here on earth? Because there is no need that's not been taken care of. I didn't hear you say amen.
Amen.
But it's the truth, whether I say amen or not. There is nothing right now that looks, no matter how insurmountable that thing looks like, it's been handled. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God's path was in the seas, but it was not known by the children of Israel. Meaning that even that Red Sea, by the time they met that Red Sea, God had already walked through that place. Can I tell you this? In 2020, and in the days ahead, and in 2040, and in 2050, there is no obstacle or challenge that you will meet that God has not already, hear me, that God has not already gone ahead and either made provision for or made a pathway out of. There is nothing. Maybe right now you need to go and school abroad. It's in his plan. And what you have is not enough. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. That particular point in time in your life, taking that decision doesn't take him by surprise. He has gone, he's way ahead of you. That is why Jehovah Jireh is more than the name of God. Jehovah Jireh is not the name of God. It's the name of a place. The Bible says, and he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It's a place in God. It's a place in God. What is Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But you know, if you read the King James, it doesn't interpret you. Jehovah Jireh doesn't mean literally the Lord that provides. Of course, he provides, but that's not the literal meaning. I'm not saying it's not correct, but I'm saying the literal meaning is the Lord that sees. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord that sees. Sees what? This will change your prayer life forever. It will change your prayer life forever.
Amen.
A lot of us pray too hard in the wrong direction. Do you remember, did you see that video of that little child that was doing a relay in a school? That he was the last person. They came and gave him the baton. You remember what he did? The moment he grabbed the baton, he turned in the opposite direction and was running. He was too fast. The teachers were trying to catch him. Will you doubt the boy's integrity? Will you doubt his speed? Will you doubt his sincerity? But is he going to win that race? That's how a lot of believers pray. You will see them praying for 12 hours in the wrong direction. In the wrong direction. Praying so hard. 21 days fast in the wrong direction. Asking God for things he has given. Telling him to do things he has accomplished. Abraham, are you with me? Went on that mountain. I think that's Genesis 22. When he went on that mountain, God said, offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. He takes this boy, comes to the foot of the hill, tells the other servants, wait here. This boy and I will go up and worship and hear the statement of faith and we'll come back to you. Listen, you know why Abraham was so confident? Because God had told him, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So he doesn't know how God's going to do this. I'm not going to disobey God or question his motive. But if I go up with this boy, as to sacrifice him, God is my partner. I'm going to sacrifice this boy. But I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to come back with him. That means he had already believed in the resurrection power of God, even before he went up. I want you to see the mindset. He goes up there, and he prepares the altar, and puts the boy on it. Hello? And for your information, this is not he didn't put the baby. So don't think that offering sacrifices. See, it's any time you see the word sacrifice, there's effort. Take your son, Yo-Yo, and try to put him on the gas stove. You'll be amazed what he knows. you'll be amazed what he knows. You think he's going to follow you there? You will know that he knows that this thing can kill. You've never taught him. He knows. He's inside. So don't think that Isaac was a child that, as Abraham said, come and lie down. How many of you, your father said, come and lie down? He said, okay, if that's what God says you should do. Are you getting me? No problem. Come on. Don't have a weakness here. Your father takes you up on a hill. He says, God said I should kill you. He said, all right, I'm ready. Come and lie down. Is that what happened? No. So I believe that Abraham must be a very strong man to have held this boy, tied him. Sometimes I try to imagine the fight on that mountain. I don't know whether he packed him. You know what I mean by packing? I don't know whether he held him. I don't know whether he tricked him. But something happened to put that guy on. I'm sure Isaac looked at him and said, so this was your plan. Amen. I know some of you say Isaac is a type of Christ. I know some of you say Isaac was a type of Christ, so it was not a struggle. Even the animal sacrifices under the Old Testament, they were types of Christ, but they struggled. Don't make a mistake. But the Bible says, as he was about to strike this boy, God said, no, Abraham, now I know that you fear me. Do not touch the boy. Now hear this. Hallelujah. And Abraham, 22:10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11 says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Hear this now. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Look at verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes. Listen. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there, where? Not before. That means the provision was not in the future. The provision was behind him. That means he had passed by it. He was already there. He looked behind him. Was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Do you get the picture? So what's the picture? All the while he took Isaac from there and was passing, there was a provision. Something was already there that he passed by. But he needed a word to open his eyes to see that the provision had already been made. A lot of time, when you are praying for things, are you getting me? Believing God for things. That's why I said, put it at the back of your mind. God has gone ahead. He has made a provision. Sometimes there are things you have walked by. There are things you have looked at, but you didn't even know it was there. Are you getting me? In the place of prayer, what you need is that thing that will help you to recognize it. So that you don't end up offering something you are not meant to offer. Oh. See, if you don't hear God and you don't have a revelation of his provision, you might be offering up things you are not meant to offer. Let me give you an example. One time, you see, you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's why he's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why I say in prayer, one of the greatest proceeds we have is this Spirit of wisdom and revelation. This revelation that your eyes are open to see something that has already been made available. I wanted to sow a seed some years ago into a particular, I wanted to buy equipment for church. So I had this car. I said, what am I doing with the car? I need equipment. So I said, I want to sell the car. I'll sell the car and put the money into church. So I just went ahead and after deliberating over a period of time, I called Reverend. And I just got that car. That was my second car. So I called him. I said, sir, can you help me sell this car in Abuja? He said, well, sir, I need to buy some things in church. So I want to sell it. He said, okay, bring the car. So we brought the car. He spoke to some people. Everywhere we took the car to, the car was not just selling. They would price it in a very annoying way. And some would just say, why do you want to sell the car? You know. And the car was given to me in very good condition by a missionary, an African-American missionary that was here. So as I having this unrest in my heart, I'll be praying. I say, Lord, just help me sell this car so I can. My plan, I'll sell it there, and then I'd made an arrangement with somebody in Onitsha. Send the money. So one of the days we went again to sell, and he wasn't selling. You know what I mean? The Rev now turned and said, Reverend Tukula, if it's equipment you want to buy, must you sell the car? I don't think you should sell this car. I believe that the money is there. Maybe you should just drive this car home, because I wouldn't want you to sell this car at the price they are offering. And then the people who want it say they will bring the money so time. Someone say we'll pay in 3 installments and all that. As he spoke, I just heard the voice of God. So I said, okay, sir, I'll go back. I took the car. I was going. As I was going, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, we're just traveling. I was praying just between that Akwanga and getting to Lafia. Are you getting me? God just spoke to my heart that when you come home, do this. And talk to this person and talk to that person. I said, okay. Hallelujah. So I think I was with Pastor B. So I mused over it. We came back home and I told him, I said, this is what we want to do. Pastor B, how are we going to go about this? He said, yeah, I was thinking along those lines. So we met the person. Well, to cut a long story short, we shared with the person what we wanted to do. I wanted the person to get involved. The person said, so-and-so person wanted to be involved. Are you getting me? Has been thinking along this line, but you're just waiting to gather the whole sum and all that. So, but I could just tell him, so I would go ahead. And I discovered that the money we were looking for was here. It was in church. We didn't make any announcement. We didn't take any special offering. Are you getting me? It came. If I didn't hear God, I would have sacrificed an Isaac I was not meant to sacrifice. And a lot of times we have made wrong decisions because we've not taken time to persevere in prayer, to hear the instruction and the wisdom of God for where that answer lies. I know it's very dangerous when you are praying with a fixated mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are praying, I say, Lord, open this door, open this door, open this door. As you pray, prayer is a dialogue. Sometimes you are praying, you need to forget about that door and say, okay, what are you saying? Probably there's another door that God has opened, because there's always an open door. There's always an open door. Do you know, barely a year and a half later, I wanted to sow a seed to Creflo Dollar Ministries. Inside that same car, I was sitting, and God said, Arome, you are sitting inside your seed. So you are sitting inside your seed. One contact, the car was sold. What am I saying? There is nothing that you need that God has not already gone ahead and made provision for. So when you go to pray, you don't pray your situation. Are you getting me? You pray from a standpoint of, from a position of victory, a position of a conqueror. It's when you take that position that you come into sync with the Spirit of God, that you can hear Him. Because sometimes people, it looks like certain situations stay for too long. It's not because it's too long. It's because you've not heard. You see, let me tell you, what is prayer and fasting for the New Testament believer? There's no explicit scripture in the New Testament teachings of the apostles that talks about us praying and fasting. Paul didn't talk about He talked about fastings often, and he was not talking about fasting often in terms of a doctrinal subject. He was talking about fasting often in terms of his experiences. He was hungry. Make no mistake. I know people have quoted that scripture. No, you need to read Bible in scripture. Because if you say that in fasting often, and you take it and develop a doctrine out of it, it means that you should be in shipwreck often too, as a doctrine, to see the power of God revealed in your life. It means that they should be beating you 40 stripes save one, as a doctrine, to see the power of God. You can't isolate scripture and deduce a revelation out of it. But am I saying that we shouldn't fast? No. I know I'm breaking some people. They say, you know, you just isolate. Paul was in fasting often. Don't read only that one. In beatings too often. In shipwrecks often. So go through all of them. That means carry your car. Let armed robbers attack you so that the power of God will be revealed. Are you with me? Carry your, put your back and go. Let police wipe you 40 stripes. Save one so that you can see the power of God. So don't isolate scriptures. Don't pray like the prophets of Baal. It's not in the vehemence of the... You pray, you take knives and begin to cut yourself. Cut yourself, cut yourself. Someone say he was praying and praying and praying and praying until he felt like his heart was going to come out. I say, if it's not the Holy Spirit putting that groaning in you, you will kill yourself for no just cause. And you appear in heaven disappointed, because angels will be asking you, why are you here earlier than due? So you see all this groaning. It's the groaning of the spirit, not groaning of the flesh. It's the Holy Spirit that creates the groaning. You know, they just say, give God thanks. Why do you go on? Calm down. Allow the Holy Spirit. Those are, when it comes upon you, you will know that the Holy Spirit has birthed it in you. You don't copy somebody's, oh God. They say, if you have not grown, you can't reach the throne. Who told you that? Who told you that if you have not grown, you can't reach the throne? That's not New Testament. And a lot of us, our prayer is like that little boy. The moment they give you the button of prayer, you face the wrong direction. You start running. And God say, wait, see the thing here. He say, no, do it, Lord. He say, look, I have done it. He say, no, do it, Lord. No, it shouldn't be like way. Glory. So what is the work of the New Testament? Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't. Protracted prayer is a very key part of getting revelation and wisdom. But you see, if you go into prayer with a wrong expectation, you will not come out with the right result. So if you go into prayer asking God for wisdom and revelation, you will get it. If you go into prayer asking God to solve a problem he has solved, your problem will last longer. You see, one of the things Jesus taught about prayer is that it's a platform for you to choose what you want to ask. How many of you, if you ask your son for fish, your son asks you for fish, we'll give him a snake, or ask for stone, we'll give him what? Bread, or ask for egg, and we'll give him a scorpion. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give your children what? Good gifts. How much more your what? Your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit. He didn't say give you fish. That means the same time that somebody uses to ask for egg, fish, and stone, the same way another person can use it to ask for the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you will receive wisdom, you will receive revelation, you will have fish, you will have bread. So someone say, Pastor Aaron, what do you spend your time doing in prayer? Amen. Is communicating with God. Saying that, Lord, I know that this thing has been provided. Open my eyes to see it. I always pray with my pen because it's a dialogue I'm having with him. The Spirit of God is not keeping anything away from you. He's here to reveal to me what has been made available. Someone say, why is he hidden? Because precious things are not in public space. That's why the Bible says the wisdom of God is hidden. Are you getting me? Ordained for your glory. If everybody sees it, everybody will use it. Really, don't make a caricature of prayer. Are you getting me? You need to read your Bible and know the New Testament purpose of prayer. And hear me. Some of this, when we say pray for wisdom, it's not you praying under 10 minutes. It's you making a decision to stay there. Are you getting me? For as long as it takes till that answer drops in your spirit and you are married to that answer. See, you must always come out of prayer knowing it is done. Knowing that I have laid hold on it. The difference between this generation and the generation of the past is that these people will pray on, you know, that's what they meant by praying through. They will pray until they know that they've had an answer. Here we'll pray whether we've had answers or not. That's why we have more people who can quote scriptures than tarry. You must learn to stay with something until you come out of a place. Are you getting me? Knowing in your heart, I have seen it. See, if after 2 days you don't see it, go back. You know, if you are sure that you dropped your American passport inside a house, the next 4 days you will still be searching for it. You are not searching for it, so at the end of your search, they will give you a passport. You are searching because you know you have a passport, and this passport is somewhere here, so you are willing. Do you get the difference? I know my job is in this Abuja. You know, that's the mentality. I know that there's a house for me. I know that there's a space for me in this place. But where is that what? Where is that space? So I begin to wait upon God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Someone say, okay, what if there are obstacles? You see, those are the things. Those obstacles, maybe there's somebody who is militating against that job coming. It's the Holy Spirit that even knows who the real obstacles are, not what your eyes can see. The Holy Spirit will now take a hold of you. That's where groanings come. Then you begin to find yourself as though breaking through opposition. It is not something you conjure. It is something that your natural mind has not been able to grasp a hold of, but the Holy Spirit has gone ahead and seen it. Then he helps your infirmity. Your infirmity there is not sickness. Your infirmity is your shortcoming, your limited mindset to know what is causing it. Then in the realm of the Spirit, he gives you the necessary tongues, are you getting me, to break through those things. That's why there are times when you can pray and you can literally feel like you are pushing against something. Am I talking to believers? Then you pray until you come to a place you know that I have done what? I have broken through. I went to Kaduna to preach recently. I had to put it on the group. I said, pray for me. I could just sense like something didn't want me to be in Kaduna. As I prayed, I could sense that opposition. The more I pray, it's like something is hindering me, and the Holy Ghost said, pray. If I was the Holy Spirit, I said, get people to get involved with you in prayer. So I went to the group and said, look, stand in faith with me concerning this meeting I came for here in Kaduna. It doesn't mean that everywhere I'm going, if there are no opposition in the realm of Israel, I don't have to put it up there and say, you know, some people always say, take over territorial demons. See, you are a territory yourself. Wait, the territorial demon. Do you know demons can't take over territories without a personality? Demons can't take over a territory without a personality. So what makes you think that you are not the man that brings the kingdom of God into that place? Are you learning something about prayer? And listen, when there are oppositions and the Holy Spirit is helping you, don't ignore it. Because I've seen some people, the Holy Spirit is telling you that there are opposition. Pray this thing through. You say you are tired, you want to drink juice. Are you getting me? In the middle of the prayer, you don't go and drink small juice. No, stay there. Say, something was telling me. Why would something be telling you? Why didn't you yield to it? You're lying down, the Holy Spirit quickens you in the night. You wake up, you don't know what to do. You are so wide awake, but you just slept 2 hours ago. And then you start sensing this unease in your spirit. Instead of getting involved with the Holy Ghost, you say, let's see what is happening on DSTV. Are you getting me? Listen, you start even watching TBN. That's for the ones that are a bit serious. Others will now go and say, there's one action movie they were showing around 2 a.m. 2 a.m. What are you doing with movies by 2 a.m.? Is that why the Holy Spirit woke you up? You watch movies, this thing. You hear later that your cousin died around 4 in the morning. You say, he was such a nice person. You killed him. You understand me? Or you are going for a presentation. You start sensing. You start sensing that, this presentation I'm going for tomorrow. You are wide awake around 3 a.m. You see, that's not a time to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever is keeping me awake, your word says you give your beloved good sleep. Thank you for Psalm 126. I'm going back to sleep. Thank you because I'm going to sleep like a baby. Angel, protect me. Make my sleep sweet now in Jesus' name. You come to office the following day. Guess what? As you are just talking, one man just sitting there and smiling. After smiling, I say, we are not giving you. Say, every devil militating against my destiny. Every finger in my future. No, you don't need. There are better fingers in your future. How many of you get the balance of these things? So there are pathways in the realm of the spirit. And you need to be sensitive. So say wisdom is key. See, a lot of the problems Christians face is a lack of wisdom. For example, if you are always stuck paying your house rent, God is not that unjust to keep you in the same house rent position in the last 6 years. It is a problem of what? Wisdom. Now, a lot of time people say wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Yes, that's part of it. But wisdom is more than that. It's a faculty. When is something your faculty? That means it's your preset, your default setting. For any situation, do you know there's a way that when you meet some people, the moment a situation comes, they always seem to always know what to do. Wisdom becomes a part of your senses. The same way that if you touch something hot, you don't need to process. You don't need to say, okay, bring a thermometer. It's like something tells me this thing is hot, but bring thermometer to measure it so I can tell whether I should remove my hand or still leave it there. That means the moment you put your hand there, something tells you it is hot. Some people eat any amount of pepper. Me, I'm not good with pepper. Do you know I always know if food is too peppery? My nose will start running. It will just start running. Anytime I start eating and the food nose is running, I know that I'm working hard. One day I was eating one food. I said, who forced me? I washed my hand. They say, is that I don't like? I said, no, it's nice. It's tasty. I said, but I'm working hard. I'm eating at the same time my nose. I have to be cleaning nose. You must not finish the food. I don't know if you know that you must not. Some of you have forced yourself to finish some food and you couldn't sleep in the night. I guess when you were sleeping, you come out. Default setting. The same way, the wisdom of God, more than just a practical application of knowledge, is that it will create a default setting in you that triggers a response. Do you understand me now? I mean, you know, when that snake fastened itself to Peter, that was wisdom. That's why wisdom is equated to the power of God. Are you getting me? Your greatest prayer in 2020 should be for wisdom. Should be for revelation. Don't even, see, quit praying for money. Quit praying for things. You know what I mean by, I say, Lord, what is your wisdom? You know what? Every man you see succeeding in one thing has gotten wisdom on how that thing works. See, when Joseph was before Pharaoh, did he talk too much? The moment he heard that thing, see, default setting, wisdom rose up. Okay. The thing just came up. It's an anointing. You don't learn this one in school. That's why after getting all the knowledge you need to get in school, you need wisdom to bring out the one needed per situation. I believe I'm talking to people this morning. So you can access the wisdom of God the following way. Number one, through the word of God. Through the word of God. Give me 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, Paul writing to Timothy, say, and that from where? Childhood. You have known the holy word, scripture. The word scripture there is graphics. Something written. You have known the holy written word. See, merely reading through the Bible creates a faculty in you. Let me tell you, every serious-minded believer, forgive me if I put it that way, I'm not saying you're not serious-minded, but every serious-minded believer should at least read the book of Proverbs once in a year. You will be amazed how there are many life instructions there. Read Proverbs, you will see how to avoid certain men if you want to date, if you truly submit your heart to scripture. You see, when a girl comes and says he wants to marry an unbeliever, do you know it's a faculty thing? Because if you have been meditating God's word, there are certain men that when they come, it's not something you are going to pray about. You say, how far with the guy? But he's cool. Don't worry, you'll soon need AC. When the heat turns up, you say, he's a nice guy. Say, he's a nice guy. You want to marry a nice guy. And is your father not nice? There's more to it than nice. Are you with me? It's wisdom. When I was doing my A-level, I saw one girl. Amen. I saw one girl that time. Girl was fine, but she was not fine like my wife. Amen. Amen. So that's how I started following the girl with my friend. My friend said, I know the girl now. I'll connect you to the girl. I said, good. You know what people do in the university? So when we just met, I was just to have an opportunity to talk with this girl. When I met her, she shook hands with me. The way she shook hands with me, I said, no, she just shook me out of courtesy, respect. So I said, what's the name? Say, Hamzat, one other name. I didn't want to even hear the other one. As I heard that Hamzat, the other one finished too. In fact, I just said, wow, it was really, really nice meeting you. Well, by the time we left there, my friend Abdul, his name is Abdul too, he was wondering the sudden reaction. I said, and I said, that girl, she born again. He said, born again. I said, yes, it's a heavy Muslim. That was our last time talking about it. Yeah. I could pray for her salvation. But to say, no. Someone said, but you can convert her. That is not my work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I know my work. That's not my work. And some people, their desire is to convert and marry. Amen. Me, I want to meet converted and marry. Praise the Lord. You know, if you read scriptures, the Bible says, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Scripture is able to make you, is able to make you. No matter how foolish you are, start reading scripture. It is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Read the scriptures. Read what is written. Even Jesus said, it is what? Written. Glory. Tell anybody, read scriptures. That's why I'm emphasizing the word scripture there. What is written? Open it and read it. When you read scriptures, you will pray about certain things less. Because you will know what to do. I didn't say you will pray less. I said you will pray about certain things less. Your prayer point will be more focused on fellowship with God than things. Number two, you assess wisdom through prayer. James 1:5. There are certain things that are not expressly stated in scripture. Are you getting me? But in the place of prayer, the Holy Spirit has a way of interpreting scripture. Are you with me? And equipping you with necessary information. If any of you lacks what? Wisdom. He didn't say feel bad. I know, before you can even ask God for wisdom, you must admit that you don't have it. You must admit that, look, concerning this thing, I don't know how. How do I go about this? Show me. And when you begin to pray like this, sometimes God will say, go and meet. Do this. Instructions will come. Let him ask of God, who loves to give wisdom liberally and without what? Reproach. Meaning that he won't scold you for saying you don't know how to go about this thing. He won't scold you, and it will be given to him. But the Bible says you must ask in faith. Not what? Not doubting. You see, because he who doubts is like what? A wave of the sea, driven and tossed by what? By the wind. Sometimes people are praying for wisdom, but they are still holding tight to somebody's opinion. That's the doubt there. Or God, you ask God for wisdom, and because the wisdom of God sounds like foolishness, God now shares his wisdom with you. But you say, let me give you the area where people struggle the most. Have you ever found yourself praying about something and God is asking you to sow some kind of seed? Now you know that in prayer, this is what God said you should do. You should sow a seed, but you are still asking him, must I sow the net or the gross? You see, that is doubting. When don't ask, don't be in between opinions when you are seeking the wisdom of God. That means go there with this full assurance that if this is what you say I should do, I'll hit the road running. Did somebody get that? At least it might be foolish. Sometimes what God asks you to do will go contrary to what everybody expects you to do. Number three, you access wisdom through relationships. One of the high points of 2020, begin to watch, I told you, is that God is bringing us into relationships that will help to move us from where we are to where we need to be. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. Oh, thank you, Lord. What does it say? Pursue peace with all people. How many people? Now, hear me. Don't pursue peace with only people that you like. Pursue peace with your landlord. Pursue peace with your tenant. Pursue peace with the person. What does it mean to pursue something? Go after it. Go after it. Pursue peace with the person you buy fuel from. Pursue peace with your security man. Pursue peace with NEPA. Pursue peace with police. No, we're all quiet. Pursue peace with how many people? With all men. See, the language of scripture have intention. When God is saying something, he knows why he's saying. He knows why he constructs his sentences the way he does. He said, and holiness. What is the holiness there? Is it dressing? No. That means with all men, there is a particular conduct necessary for that space. That means in your relationship with a policeman, there's a particular conduct. Pursue that conduct. That's what he's saying. In your office, there's a particular conduct. That's the word holiness there. Pursue it. He says, without which no one will see the Lord. Meaning that if you want to see the hand of God, then the conduct particular to that environment you find yourself, pursue it. You will see the hand of God. Don't go on break by 8 when you're supposed to go on break by 12. Don't make it a habit to break traffic. Say, hey, who is here? Are they here? One day, Wifi and I were rushing to come back to Boko after service on Sunday. The road was so clear. Federal Secretariat Abuja. So clear. So I just look around. I was hurrying. I said, Wifi, the thing was right. I said, nobody's coming. Let's be going. Piah! Wifi crossed the federal. We now got to a place. They stopped us. As they just stopped us, they said, you broke traffic at the back there. Kai. And we're wearing suit. The man said, you look like responsible people. You know police now. So how are we going to do it now? So we just did it. Now, praise the Lord. Somebody say what? I said, we just did how we used to. It's when we did it that the man now said, oh, you are even a gala. I said, yes. He said, this one is not that thing again. He's a brother to a brother. I said, get away. Allow me pass. But see, I wouldn't have been in that position if I had just waited for 45 seconds. Sometimes you don't know what is pursuing you. There is a conduct for the people you meet. Pursue it. You will see the hand of God. See, it doesn't even matter if you fall into trouble for doing the right thing. God will not leave you there. Joseph pursued peace in Potiphar's house. Are you getting me? And holiness. And he landed him where? In prison. Did God leave him there? No. Look at verse 15. Looking carefully. Looking how? Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. The grace of God is the empowerment of God. Lest any root of bitterness. That means in this relationship that God is bringing your way, one of the chief tools of the enemy is to bring you to a place where you are bitter. Springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Don't be the troublemaker. Don't be the bitter person. You'll be amazed at the year's ending. Many people are carrying many things into next year in their heart. Some are even waiting and saying that before this year runs out, we are going to have a meeting. I must tell you what is on. You can ask you a question. Did Jesus clear his mind on the cross before he died? Did he say, wait, all of you, come. Father, forgive them. They know what they do, but I have to let them know. See, it's not everything you must let somebody know before you forgive. It's your heart you protect against bitterness, not the other person. It's your heart you protect. Verse 16. Because you will not see the wisdom of God walking in bitterness. Lest there be any what? Fornicator or profane person like Esau. I'm going to explain this scripture to you. Who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Look at the next verse. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing. Notice, please. When he wanted to inherit the blessing, the Bible says he did what? He was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. What is this scripture saying? That God can bring you into relationships and you can be looking for the wrong thing in those relationships. When you look for wrong things in relationship, you are a fornicator. God will bring some relationship into your life and you discover that all that you are seeking for is morsel of bread, the person's car. Meanwhile, God has hidden wisdom there. That if you forget about this morsel of bread, are you getting me? There is an idea. There are connections that this man can give you. Connections that this woman can give you that will outlive the cars he or she is driving. But you come there admiring his suit, admiring his clothes, admiring what he has. The Bible says you are like Esau, who had a relationship with his father, but couldn't see that his relationship with his brother, are you getting me? His birthright was of greater influence, was of greater measure and value than eating bread that you eat today and is done tomorrow. I've seen people who don't... There's this brother, they say there are two brothers, I'm thinking. The one that brings gifts. I'm not saying there's anything wrong about bringing gifts. If that becomes the only value you can draw from a relationship, don't be deceived though. Gifts finish. But here you see this brother, you say all he has is vision. Provision will meet with vision. Provision means to see ahead. How did Reverend Ayeni put it? Don't marry a man who has a television. Marry a man who has vision. Televisions change you. I remember when my father bought Sharp. In 1985, it was one of the best in GRA. Guess where we used to tune it from? On top. You be tuning, the thing will be doing. The thing will be going like this. But it was the best. They will go up, you tune it. You go to the channel. See this channel that you press now? That time you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you go to channel 5, crack. Are you getting me? Then you do crack, the thing will change. Then you go to the tuner, like radio. The thing will go. Then we had one antenna. They will be turning it outside. Somebody will be outside. He said, "You don't clear." He said, "No, turn it small, turn it small, turn it small, turn it small." Say, hey, you have gone too far. Return, 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 return. That was the best then. The shocking thing is that if you go to some houses, they are still there. So the relationship that God brings into your life, if at the end of the day, what you got out of it is what? Morsel of bread. You are a fornicator. And you know what a fornicator means? Somebody who is so indulged in self that he can't see past, present, value, and satisfaction. Let me ask you, why do you have pastors? Is it so that they can be meeting your immediate financial needs? Because they are kind. You say, you know why I like Pastor Steve? Anytime I go to him, he's a shoulder I can cry upon. But I don't like Pastor Ben. He's too hard. Anytime you go there, he's telling you faith. But Pastor Steve, what will I do without my Pastor Steve? Yeah, his shoulder to cry upon. Morsel of bread. Pastor Simon will come on stage. I don't even know if he's talking. I can't even hear him very well. Oh, but Pastor Jay. Oh, what a shoulder. Her chest is pillow for me. She cushions my problem. Anytime I meet her, she's truly the mama in Zion. She will, see, you know I like Pastor Jay? She can give you the last rice in her kitchen. Even the last onion, she will give it to you. I went to her one day. The Maggi was two. She divided into two and gave me one part. Is that what you are looking for? Is that all you can see? There are some people who have been with me for years. Nothing has changed in their life. I know what I'm saying. There are some people who come and say, Pastor Rami, I had just one encounter with you. My life changed. It's value. It's the value they place on the relationship that determines the virtue they draw out of it. So everybody that is around me, they are looking for different things. Others is their school fees. Are you getting me? Others is shelter. Others is this. Others is word. Others is grace. Everybody knows what they are looking for. The same way me too, I'm around people. I know what I'm looking for. The Bible says, you know why? There are certain relationships that if God brings into your life, by the time you are done eating that bread, you will be seeking for those kind of relationships again with repentance, with tears. You will not get it. This was written in the New Testament. Don't get offended. The Bible says he sought it diligently with what? With tears. May you not sit down later in your life and wish there was something better you would have done with certain relationships that God brought you. Did you hear me? May you never be in that place and say, why was I here all these years? And I didn't know better. Hebrews 13, 1 to 2. Let me read two more scriptures on this, then I'll talk about the last one. Let brotherly love continue. not gossip. In 2020, gossip less, love more. Do not forget to entertain who? For by so doing, some have what? That means without even thinking. That means they were not consciously that means they were not looking for people who look like angels. You know, Jesus taught something in Luke chapter 6. I'm not going to go there. But listen, you know what he taught? He said, do unto others as you want them do unto you. What a powerful statement. See, I heard a man of God make a statement recently that so blessed me. He said, if you promise somebody that, look, I'm going to do this, and you do it hesitantly, what you are doing automatically is this. You are setting yourself up that you will come into a place where people will be willing to do something for you, but every time find themselves hesitating to do it for you. It's not law of karma. It's the truth about life. One of the people that unwittingly entertain angels is Abraham. You will see that the way Abraham entertained angels. I was thinking about this scripture in the early hours of the morning. I said, do you know, because this is key to what God wants to do in our life, the devil makes it impossible for us to entertain strangers. Because society is so polarized now that people are skeptical of strangers. But do you know, they are honest strangers. You should trust God to open your heart to help you help. Like the other day, I was coming back in the car. We were driving from Makurdi and coming to Boko. And the military checkpoint, not at the Air Force base there. The guy just said that, please, if you don't mind, my brother is here, my assistant, can you give him a lift? I said yes. Then I said no, not today. We drove and we left. And I said, okay, if it's not okay, no problem, you can leave. By the time I got to, I just heard the Spirit of God say softly, Arome, that was fear. You should have carried him. He said, because you find yourself in moments like he was. Are you getting me? And you will need the help of strangers. And the Spirit of God just spoke to me. I said, next time, don't make that kind of decision out of fear. Allow me be the one to instruct you on who to carry and who not to carry. Someone said, what did you do? Of course, I didn't turn back. But I repented. Don't allow the fear of evil men stop you from entertaining strangers. The Bible says, God has positioned angels. What are angels? Angels are not necessarily winged. You're not talking of heaven. God has positioned help for you in some of those situations. That is, in helping strangers, you will discover that you will be connecting with the next link to where you are going. A woman in Matthew Ashimolo's church, I don't know which one is correct, Ashimolo or Ashimolo, but there's low. Are you getting me? Said that the man of God laid hands upon her and said, very soon there's somebody here who will be doing business who will be selling oil. She's a Nigerian in UK. Who will be selling oil? And as he was turning, he said, you are the woman God said. This woman said, in UK, trying to pay mortgage and everything. So the woman, you say amen, and left. She had the qualification. She had been working in the UK, relocated to the UK. But guess what God did for her? She said, some weeks later, she saw this stranded Arab. And the guy just flagged her down and said, you know, with the whole fear of terrorists attack, just flagged her down and said, excuse me, this is my first time in London. I think I've missed my way. I don't know how I arrived here, but this is the address where I want to go, and this is where I want to connect. Can you help? It was quite a distance from where she was. And then she was looking at the guy. The guy is Arab, and the guy is even wearing his... You know, when they are not wearing their this thing, you can presume that maybe Christ is walking on this one. But this one is in full uniform. But she heard in her heart, help him. So he said, okay, I can trace, but it's off my way, but I can help. So she just struggled with this man, and they had a long drive from one part of London to another part. So in the course of their going, he said, you live here, is this what you do? She said, yeah, she's been in London for over 10 years. She came back from Nigeria, and this is what's been happening and all that. But this is London for her. This is where she is. She's a citizen. And in the course of their talk, the man now got involved, asking her, what does she do and all that? What were you doing in Nigeria before you came? She said, she was working with a particular company, but you know, she was just fed up with the whole thing. She moved down here. And the woman said that the person is going to see that they run a group of companies, and they are international oil global merchants. They are like global oil merchants and all that. And they've been trying to establish something in Nigeria, that they were in Lagos. That if you'll be willing to go back to Nigeria and be stationed there, I could talk to my brother, since you have the experience and all that. So just help us establish contacts. We've tried to enter Nigeria. She said, okay. So the man took her number. She didn't even give too much thought to it. Dropped the man in the house. Following day, the man called and said they want to see her. Where is her house? They traced her and came. They said all they need is for her to be an honest, trustworthy person and be willing to go back to Nigeria. That's how She became a partner with them. I get him. They got involved in the business, came to Nigeria. This woman blew. God has hidden opportunities for you in strangers. Finally, Proverbs 23:7. So men will come to you as gods. Do you understand me? Proverbs 23:7. Yeah, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. I mean, you know, a lot of time we like to quote the scripture to say that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But what the scripture is saying is that it's the way you think about people, that is who you are. That's the original context in which this scripture is quoted. That we always see people the way we are. So somebody can be telling you to eat, to drink. Are you getting me? But he's not happy with you. He's feeling that the food is going to finish. Meaning that who that person is not what he's just showing on the outside. Is that in the core of his personality, he's a stingy person. Don't be like that towards people. Hello. I say what you think about people, that is who you are. So you know where your relationship with people will start this year? So that the wisdom of God will come to you. Is that you have to change your opinion about people. If you don't believe people can't change, it means you too, you cannot change. It's the way you are, that's how you remain. Always cynical, judgmental. And listen, God has wisdom hidden in people for you. See, your prayers will be answered in men. Then finally, impartation. Psalm 78, 72. So when you pray this year, keep your eyes on the lookout for these things I'm saying. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hand. That skill talked about, there's not just skill you acquire from school.
God prepared David and took this gentle shepherd king and presented him before people as the one who would love and care for them with integrity, a pure heart, and the anointing to lead Israel, his holy inheritance.
And the anointing to lead, meaning that this skill that David had to lead is actually a product of an anointing. See, don't joke when you come for meetings and the power of God begins to move and people are sleeping under God's power. It is giving them skill. See, they were just falling down. See, you will rise up and find yourself in situations and just be wondering how so intelligently you can handle situations. The anointing gives skills. Others will be playing, but when you begin to play, there's a different way they will perceive what you are playing. Others will sing, but when you sing, there's a different way. Meaning that there is an anointing that comes upon us. Are you getting me? That makes us skilled. That word skill there is to be crafty. Is to know a craft, to be good at something. It is the same word in the Greek that is used when Paul told Timothy, where we read in 2 Corinthians, Timothy chapter 3, that it is able to make you what? Wise. It means it's able to make you skillful. It's able to make you crafty. You know, crafty doesn't mean mischievous. Crafty means means ingenious. I mean, you know, God is a master craftsman. He's a master craftsman. Seek grace this year. See, something happens when you meet with a man of God and he blesses you. Something happens. When I take my seed to the anointed and they say, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, I go out and discover that I begin to think in a way that even people who seemingly have better qualifications begin to look up to me. Somebody called me recently, said he heard me minister at Pastor Efes leadership, this thing. And he said, I'd like it to be such an honor to do one or two things with you in 2020. He said, sir, we are willing to pay. That skill is an anointing. Impartations are powerful. Are you getting me? Impartations cause you to be skillful. Didn't you see Jesus? From whence, Mark chapter 6, did he get this wisdom that through his hands mighty works are wrought? There's an impartation that causes mighty works to be wrought through your hands. That is the wisdom of God. Impartations. Don't joke with impartations. Every time I have a Sunday to remember service in Abuja, testimonies always erupt. You know why? Things that people have always been struggling with. After those Sunday to remember, when they go out, the same thing they've been trying to do, when they go to do it, now works well. That is the skill. People begin to see their skill. It's impartation. When Sister Judy was sharing her testimony with us, how she got that job, she said she was not supposed to get it. But when she came to church that day, it was one of those Sunday to remembers. I said, there's somebody here. There's something that belongs to you. Are you getting me? And that thing has seemingly been taken. He said, but it will wait for you until you come. That situations will be construed to make sure that no decision will be made until you come. She said, when the employment came, she was pregnant. And ideally, the pregnancy was supposed to disqualify her for the job. But something always kept coming till she put to bed. Immediately she put to bed, they started calling them. See, what held them from making a decision was the anointing. That is what impartations do. They delay processes. They fast forward processes on your behalf. He said when she even got the job with United Nations, one man was getting angry and saying that the way she filed her this thing is not professional enough and all that. The man was insisting, but the head of the recruiting team said, "We need a lady on this team. We need a lady on this team." The man said, "But look at," he said, "get her to correct it and put her on it. We need her." When people you don't know begin to see skills you think you don't have, know that there is an anointing that has come upon you.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.